Lesson 7. Outcomes. Describe methods of spill control. Spill control. Spill control tactics confine a hazardous material that has been released from its container. These tactics attempt to reduce the amount of contact the product makes with people, property, and the environment, limiting the amount of potential harm the products cause. Control actions involving spills are generally defensive in nature, figure 26.33. Note, responders should familiarize themselves with their AHJ's policies and procedures for product control as specified in SOPs and emergency response plans. To prevent further contamination, responders should use spill control to confine the hazardous material after its release. For this reason, spill control is often simply called confinement. Spill control primarily acts as a defensive operation, and responders' safety is a primary consideration. Spills may involve gases, liquids, or solids. The product involved may be released into the air, as a vapor or gas, into water, and/or onto a surface. The type of release determines the spill control method needed to control it. For example, in the event of a flammable liquid spill, you must address both the liquid spreading on the ground and the vapors releasing into the air. To prevent the spread of liquid materials, methods used include building dams or dikes near the source, catching the material in another container, or diverting, the flow to a remote location for collection. Before using equipment to confine spilled materials, ICs need to seek advice from technical sources to determine if the spilled materials will adversely affect the equipment. If the spill involves a corrosive material, it may react with metals or damage other materials, figure 26.34. Large or rapidly spreading spills may require the use of heavy construction-type equipment, floating confinement booms, or special sewer and storm drain plugs, figure 26.35. Spill control is not restricted to controlling liquids. Responders may also need to confine dusts, vapors, and gases with the following. Protective covering consisting of a fine spray of water. A layer of earth. Plastic sheets. Salvage covers. Foam blankets on liquids. Strategically placed water streams can direct gases or allow the water to absorb or move them. Reference sources and training information can provide the proper procedures for confining gases. The following dictate confinement efforts. Material type. Tools and equipment needed. Rate of release. Weather. Speed of spread. Topography. Number of personnel available. Table 26.6 provides a summary of the spill control tactics for different types of releases and their resulting dispersions. It also provides an example of a task related to one of the appropriate tactics. Absorption. Absorption, penetration of one substance into the structure of another, such as the process of picking up a liquid contaminant with an absorbent. Absorption, like a sponge soaking up water, soaks up or retains a liquid hazardous material in some other material. The bulk of the liquid being absorbed enters the cell structure of the absorbing medium. When choosing an absorbent, it must be chemically compatible with the material being absorbed. Absorbents tend to swell as they absorb the material. Common absorbents used at hazmat incidents include, figure 26.36. Sawdust. Clays. Charcoal. Polyolefin-type fibers. Specially designed absorbent pads, pillows, booms, and socks. The absorbent is spread directly onto the hazardous material or in a location where the material is expected to flow. After use, responders must treat and dispose of absorbents as hazardous materials because they retain the properties of the materials they absorb. Responders often use absorption at incidents involving small spills, 55 gallons, 208 L, or less, such as gasoline or diesel fuel. While some absorbents, such as sawdust, may work best on shallow pools, other types of spills may require different types of absorbents. For example, responders may use absorbent booms for releases involving waterborne spills in streams or pools. For more information about performing absorption, see Skill Sheet 26-5. Adsorption, adherence of a substance in a liquid or gas to a solid. This process occurs on the surface of the adsorbent material. Adsorption. Adsorption differs from absorption in that the molecules of the liquid hazardous material physically adhere to the adsorbent material rather than being absorbed into its inner spaces. Adsorbents tend not to swell like absorbents. Responders usually use organic-based materials, such as activated charcoal or carbon, as adsorbents. Adsorbents primarily control shallow liquid spills and increasingly replace soap and water or other Deccan methods. Make sure that the adsorbent used is compatible with the spilled material in order to avoid potentially dangerous reactions. For more information about performing adsorption, see Skill Sheet 26-5. Blanketing/covering. Personnel perform blanketing or covering to prevent dispersion of hazardous materials. Operations-level responders may not be allowed to perform blanketing/covering actions, depending on the hazards of the material, the nature of the incident, and the distance from which they must operate to ensure their safety. Responders must consider the compatibility between the material being covered and the material covering it, Figure 26.37. For blanketing or covering solids, such as powders and dusts, the following tools are used. Tarps. Plastic sheeting. Salvage covers. Other materials, including foam. Blanketing/covering may also be used as a form of temporary mitigation for radioactive and biological substances, for example, to reduce alpha or beta radiation or prevent the spread of biological materials. Personnel can blanket/cover incidents involving cryogen leaks to cause the released material to auto-refrigerate beneath the tarp or covering, Figures 26.38a and b. As a temporary option, responders can cover openings of some liquid containers with plastic sheets or tarps to confine vapors. Blanketing of liquids is essentially the same as vapor suppression, see vapor suppression section, because it typically uses an appropriate aqueous, water, foam agent to cover the surface of a spill. Dam, dike, diversion, and retention. Damming, diking, diverting, and retaining are performed to confine or control a hazardous material, Figure 26.39. These actions control the flow of liquid hazardous materials away from the point of discharge. Responders can use available earthen materials or materials carried on their response vehicles to construct curbs that direct or divert the flow away from gutters, drains, storm sewers, flood control channels, and outfalls, Figure 26.40. In some cases, it may be desirable to direct the flow into certain locations in order to capture and retain the material for later pickup and disposal. Some dams may permit surface water or runoff to pass over, or under, the dam while holding back the hazardous material, Figure 26.41. Responders must properly dispose of any construction materials that contact the spilled material. See Skill Sheets 26-6, 26-7, 26-8, and 26-9 for instructions on how to perform damming, diking, diversion, and retention. Vapor suppression. Vapor suppression reduces the emission of vapors at a hazmat incident, Figure 26.42. Responders use vapor suppression when they apply fire-fighting foam to suppress vapors from flammable and combustible liquids. Other examples of vapor suppression include using water fog from hose streams or chemical vapor suppressants. See Skill Sheet 26-10 for more information about performing vapor suppression. The fire control section later in this chapter addresses the use of fire-fighting foam to suppress vapors and extinguish fires. Vapor dispersion. Vapor dispersion directs or influences the course of airborne hazardous materials. Pressurized streams of water from hose lines or unattended master streams may help disperse vapors, Figure 26.43. These streams create turbulence, which increases the rate of the material's mixing with air and reduces the concentration of the hazardous material. After using water streams for vapor dispersion, responders must confine and analyze runoff water for possible contamination. Skill Sheet 26-11 provides a set of steps for performing basic vapor dispersion. Ventilation. Ventilation is performed to control air movement using natural or mechanical means. When spills occur inside structures, ventilation can remove and/or disperse harmful airborne particles, vapors, or gases, Figure 26.44. Personnel can apply the same ventilation techniques that they use for smoke removal to hazmat incidents. As with other types of spill control, responders should ensure the compatibility of their ventilation equipment with the hazardous atmosphere. When conducting negative pressure ventilation, personnel should ensure the fans and other ventilators are compatible with the atmosphere where they are being operated. Equipment must be intrinsically safe in a flammable atmosphere. When choosing the type of ventilation to use, remember that positive pressure ventilation removes atmospheric contaminants more effectively than negative pressure ventilation. Dispersion. Dispersion involves breaking up or dispersing a hazardous material that has spilled on a solid or liquid surface. Personnel usually use dispersion agents on hydrocarbon spills, such as crude oil. Personnel usually use dispersion agents, such as oceanic crude oil, on hydrocarbon spills. Dispersion poses problems of spreading the material over a wide area, and the process itself may cause additional problems. Because of these problems, the use of dispersants may require the approval of government authorities. Dilution. Dilution is the application of water to a water-soluble material to reduce the hazard. Dilution of liquid materials rarely has practical applications at hazmat incidents in terms of spill control. Responders use dilution more frequently during decontamination operations. Figure 26.45. Diluting hazardous water-soluble liquids requires huge volumes of water that may create runoff problems. Responders may use dilution at spills involving small amounts of corrosive material, such as in cases of irregular dispersion or a minor accident in a laboratory. Even then, it is generally considered for use only after spill control methods have been rejected. A simple set of steps for performing dilution are provided in Skill Sheet 26-12. Dilution. Dilution is the application of water to a water-soluble material to reduce the hazard. Dilution of liquid materials rarely has practical applications at hazmat incidents in terms of spill control. Responders use dilution more frequently during decontamination operations. Figure 26.45. Diluting hazardous water-soluble liquids requires huge volumes of water that may create runoff problems. Responders may use dilution at spills involving small amounts of corrosive material, such as in cases of irregular dispersion or a minor accident in a laboratory. Even then, it is generally considered for use only after spill control methods have been rejected. A simple set of steps for performing dilution are provided in Skill Sheet 26-12. Neutralization. Some hazardous materials may be neutralized to minimize the amount of harm that they do upon contact. Usually, neutralization involves raising or lowering the pH of corrosive materials to render them neutral, pH 7, Figure 26.46. Neutralization can also refer to any chemical reaction that reduces the hazard of the material. Neutralization is a difficult process. For example, adding too much of a neutralizer can cause a pH shift in the opposite direction. With few exceptions, responders should only conduct neutralization under the direction of a hazardous materials technician, allied professional, or SOPs. Flammable and combustible liquid spill control. Most hazmat incidents involve flammable and combustible liquids. Incidents range from spilled fuel at vehicle accidents to major industrial accidents involving bulk containers. The spill control methods used will depend on the incident. Always consider the following. Firefighter protective clothing can absorb flammable and combustible liquids, which can later ignite if exposed to an ignition source, Figure 26.47. Avoid contact with products and/or contaminated pools, puddles, or streams. Vapors from flammable and combustible liquids are usually heavier than air. Flammable and combustible liquids are typically lighter than water and, if so, will float on the surface of water. Flammable and combustible liquids are Class B materials. Water is an ineffective extinguishing agent. Flammable and combustible liquid vapors may be toxic. For example, benzene is a carcinogen. Controlling vapors is a priority at flammable and combustible liquid spills. Vapor suppression using fire-fighting foam can be effective if the foam concentrate is compatible with the hazardous material, Figure 26.48. Before using foam concentrates, responders must proportion, mix with water, and aerate, mix with air, all foam concentrates. Mechanical foam concentrates are divided into two general categories based on the classification of fuels for which they are effective. Class A fuel foams, for ordinary combustibles. Class B fuel foams, for flammable and combustible liquids. This section will focus on Class B foam concentrates that are used for vapor suppression. There are significant differences in Class B foams. Concentrates designed solely for hydrocarbon fires will not extinguish polar solvent, alcohol-type fuel/liquids that mix fires regardless of the concentration at which they are used. Water-miscible materials, such as alcohols, esters, and ketones, destroy regular fire-fighting foams and require an alcohol-resistant foam agent. Therefore, responders should not use regular fluoroprotein and regular aqueous film-forming foam, AFFF, on those materials, figure 26.49. However, responders may use foam concentrates that are intended for polar solvents on hydrocarbon fires. The ERG provides guidance on when to use alcohol-resistant foam for a particular material, figure 26.50. Note, refer to Chapter 18, Foam Fire Fighting and IFSTA's Aircraft Rescue and Fire Fighting for Safety and Best Practices Using Foam During Other Types of Incidents. Foam concentrates vary in their finished foam quality and, therefore, in their effectiveness. Manufacturers and suppliers will be able to provide information about freeze-protected versions of foams. Foam quality is measured in terms of its 25% drainage time and its expansion ratio. Drainage time is the time required for 1/4, 25%, or 1/4, of the total liquid solution to drain from the foam. Expansion ratio is the volume of finished foam that results from a unit volume of foam solution. In general, the required application rate to control an unignited liquid spill is substantially less than that required to extinguish a spill fire. Long drainage times result in long-lasting foam blankets. The greater the expansion ratio is, the thicker the foam blanket that can be developed, figure 26.51. All Class B foam concentrates, except the special foams made for acid and alkaline spills, may be used for both firefighting and vapor suppression. Air aspirating nozzles produce a larger expansion ratio than water fog nozzles. All foams have different optimal application methods. Common application methods include: the roll-on application method involves applying the foam onto the ground at the edge of the spill and rolling it gently onto the material, figure 26.52. If the spill surrounds some type of obstacle, responders can apply the foam onto the obstacle so the foam will roll down, known as the bank-down application method, figure 26.53. Personnel using the rain-down method spray the foam into the air over the target area in a fog pattern, figure 26.54. As the foam bubbles burst, the foam melds together to form a film over the fuel. The rain-down method is best used with AFFF. Fluoroprotein-type foams only may be plunged directly into the spill. Key terms: rain-down application method, foam application method that directs the stream into the air above the unignited or ignited spill or fire, allowing the foam to float gently down onto the surface of the fuel. Roll-on application method, method of foam application in which the foam stream is directed at the ground at the front edge of the unignited or ignited liquid fuel spill, foam then spreads across the surface of the liquid. Bank-down application method, method of foam application that may be employed on an ignited or unignited Class B fuel spill. The foam stream is directed at a vertical surface or object that is next to or within the spill area. Foam deflects off the surface or object and flows down onto the surface of the spill to form a foam blanket. For vapor suppression, first responders should use air aspirating foam nozzles rather than water fog nozzles because aerated foam maintains the vapor suppressive blanket longer, figures 26.55a and b. For flammable liquid fires, non-aerated AFFF can be effective, so water fog nozzles may be used. Adequate vapor suppression relies on selection of the proper foam concentrate. Because finished foam is composed principally of water, you should not use it to cover water-reactive materials. Some fuels destroy foam bubbles. Therefore, select a foam concentrate that is compatible with the liquid. Other points to consider when using foam for vapor suppression include: do not use water streams in conjunction with the application of foam. Water destroys and washes away foam blankets. Ensure that a material is below its boiling point. Foam cannot seal vapors of boiling liquids. Do not rely on the film that precedes the foam blanket, such as with AFFF blankets, it is not a reliable vapor suppressant. Reapply aerated foam periodically until the foam completely covers the spill. Responders should consider many factors at hazardous materials incidents where flammable or combustible liquids are present or burning. Responders should consider, Figure 26.56. Where vapors may be present or traveling. Where and what possible ignition sources are present. Whether to extinguish the fire and how. If the products of combustion present fewer hazards than the leaking chemical, or extinguishment efforts will place firefighters in undue risk, the best course of action may be to protect exposures and let a fire burn until the fuel is consumed. Responders should consider withdrawal as potentially the safest, and best, tactical option due to the following. A threat of catastrophic container failure. Boiling liquid expanding vapor explosion, bleve, or other explosion. The resources needed to control the incident are unavailable. Tanks with relief valves may still rupture violently if exposed to heat or flames. If flammable liquids have produced enough vapor to ignite, the incident will change focus to fire control. Fire control attempts to minimize the damage, harm, and effect of fire at a hazmat incident. Fire control tactics aim to extinguish fires and prevent ignition of flammable materials. Fire control tactics may be offensive or defensive, depending on the situation. Figure 26.57.